Non-believers seek and strive to find out what's going on in the future through wicked means like psychics or whatever it might be. They strive to understand how the future would relate to them. But we as believers have the truth of God. We know what certain things are going to happen in the future because God has revealed them in His Word.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, your message today reminds us that we must be students of the Word.
You know, Dave, it is so easy to be swayed by popular thought or even polished biblical arguments when we don't know what Scripture says. And this is especially true in the area of prophecy. Indeed, there are many teachers of prophecy today that have absolutely mishandled the Word of God and thus arrived at conclusions that are truly not supported by Scripture. So today, we're going to take you through a number of passages that will help connect the dots in Scripture of this important subject of the end times. Our text is Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 22.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, if you were to ask just about anyone if they wanted to know what the future is, they'd probably say yes. Most people want to know what's going to go on in the future. Non-believers seek and strive to find out what's going on in the future through wicked means like psychics or whatever it might be. They strive to understand how the future would relate to them. But we as believers have the truth of God. We know what certain things are going to happen in the future because God has revealed them in His Word. But the focus is not us. The focus is Christ. And today we're going to see a portion of Scripture in which the Lord God gives future saints in the tribulation, Jewish saints, instructions on what they are to expect and how they are to respond when that time comes upon them. Today we're going to see, as we look at the Olivet Discourse, what Jewish believers are to do when the great tribulation comes upon them. And we're going to see that there is God's protection for those who read His Word, heed His Word, and pray. We're going to see that today. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 24? We will be going through verses 15 to 22 today, Lord willing. Now again, I want to briefly remind you of the context of the book of Matthew. God, a gracious God, sent His Son Jesus Christ. He came to His own, to the Jews. And we see that the Lord, His salvation, Jesus Christ, He came to save His people from their sins. And the Jews who would name the name of the Lord were sitting in spiritual darkness. They were sitting in the shadow of death because they were still in their sins. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus came unto them and He shared His Word. He taught them and He preached and He declared to repent as John the Baptist who prepared the way did also. And He affirmed the reality of His Messiahship that He is the Lord with the miraculous. But the people didn't want to repent. The generation was an evil and adulterous generation who sought signs and stuff from the living God in flesh, but yet would not repent and believe in the living God in human flesh. We saw the rejection of the multitudes of Jesus Christ, and we also saw the rejection of the leaders, that they hated Christ and desired to kill Him. And as we came to the last third of this gospel, we came to the last week of the Lord Jesus' life, we saw His not-so-triumphal entry where He was coming in and people were saying, Hosanna, Son of David. They were proclaiming Psalm 118. They believed He was the Messiah, but yet they wanted Him to be a Messiah who would deliver them from their outward difficulties rather than from their sin. And Jesus Christ knew their rejection. He wept, as we saw in Luke 19, as He was coming into the city. A humble king mounted on a colt. And as He came to His temple, we saw the Lord Jesus cast out the wicked rulers who had made it a den of robbers. They had made it a place of merchandise. And then we saw, after casting them out, we saw that He was teaching and preaching in the temple every day, and He was receiving worship. And finally, the wicked leaders decided to confront him, the hypocritical religious leaders. And Jesus, in return, condemned them with parables and with seven woes. And at the end of chapter 23, we see that Jesus moves that condemnation to the nation as a whole. As we saw so clearly that this nation, their house would be desolate and that they would not see him, Christ, again until they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it's important for our understanding of chapters 24 and 25 to know the context, the immediate context of this Olivet Discourse, because there is so many bad interpretations, there are so many bad theologies that are placed over this passage to twist the Word of God to fit into a box in which it was not intended. Remember, at the end of chapter 23, Jesus has declared that the temple is going to be destroyed because of their rejection. That although the Lord yearned for them to turn, O Jerusalem, they would have nothing of him. And we also saw, as I shared earlier, that Jesus said, "You will not see me again." He was departing from their presence. What an awful thing. The living God removing himself from them until they would say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, chapters 24 and 25 arise out of the disciples' confusion. As they are leaving Jerusalem, Jesus makes it clear that not one stone will be left upon another, looking at the temple. And they're confused about that, this beautiful temple. And four of his disciples come to him privately in the Mount of Olives and ask him, "When will these things be?" Speaking of the temple being destroyed. "And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And we know from the book of Mark, chapter 13, that they saw all of those things together. Indeed, they had been continually thinking that Christ would initiate his kingdom at any time. And they had placed it all together. When it's destroyed, when are you going to start your kingdom? But Jesus does not answer them their first question about the temple. He answers their second combined question about what will be the sign of his coming and the end of the age. And that is what the Olivet Discourse is. It is an answer to that question. And if we understand that, we will not misinterpret it as so many other people have done. Again, turn with me in your Bibles, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 24, verses 15 to 22. Now, as we come to this portion, we're going to see that this happens during the tribulation period, that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD as predicted. And this portion in chapters 24 and 25 happens during that 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble, that seven-year tribulation, which immediately precedes the coming visibly of Christ to earth again. And if you look at Matthew 24, and let's look down a little bit before we read our passage, verses 29 and 30. "But immediately after the tribulation of those days," immediately after, he says, "the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." What we're going to look at today happens during the tribulation period, which precedes the second coming of Christ. So back to our passage, let's read it together, where we're going to see what are these Jewish believers to do in the tribulation. And you're going to be asking, "Wait a second, well, I'm not a Jewish believer in the tribulation. How does this apply to me?" Well, I believe there are some very strong principles. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. And we will see some secondary principles that apply to us today, although we will see primarily as to them at this time. Matthew 24, verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things that are in his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in a winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. I believe we're going to see today some strong principles that arise from what Jesus instructs his Jewish tribulation saints on concerning this tribulation time. Now we're going to see, first of all, I believe, for these Jewish tribulation believers, and we'll talk about this, that Jesus commands them to flee immediately when they see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, the one spoken of by the prophet Daniel. He commands them to leave immediately. Notice in our passage, verse 15 starts out with a therefore. It's connected to what he has shared beforehand. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, and here's the command, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. It's an imperative command. We have a command in verse 16 based on a condition in verse 15. When you behold, when you see the abomination of desolation, the one spoken of by Daniel the prophet, those who are in Judea are to flee. It says let, but we'll see all these commands in this passage where it says let. It really is imperative commands. It's not a suggestion. It is an imperative command by the living God for them to flee. Now he says therefore. So obviously it is connected to what he has previously said. And if you will remember, in verse 3, the disciples have asked him the question, when will all these things happen? And then what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And then Jesus begins to answer in verse 4. Notice verse 4, back in 24. And he answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. There's going to be all kinds of false Christs in deception. We saw this a couple weeks ago. And then there's going to be tribulation for these Jews specifically. Look at verse 6. And you, this is to Jews in the tribulation, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but yet that is not the end. In the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, it is that last week of years in which God has ordained for Israel. We saw in Daniel chapter 9 that he has ordained 70 weeks, and there is 1 week of years, 7 years left, to make an end of sin and to bring in everlasting righteousness. In that week, there are going to be these things in the beginning. But yet there are not going to be wars towards these Jews, as we see. He says, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for these things must take place. But that yet is not the end. You're going to think it's the end. It's not yet the end. I believe they're going to see peace at that time. Notice verse 7, for nation will rise against nation. That's not speaking of the Jews at this point. They are hearing of this. He's explaining. And kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Now in the beginning here of the reality of Christ's coming and the end of the age, we have a 7-year tribulation period, that 70th week where they are hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Nation against nation, there's all sorts of stuff going on. There are earthquakes and famines. But Jesus says it is merely the beginning of birth pangs. It is the beginning of painful labor where the pain increases and the frequency increases until there is that labor. It is the start of painful tribulation labor, as we will see. We'll see at this point, then the great tribulation will come upon them. Verse 9, then they will deliver you. It's speaking of Jews in the context. Remember, he says, let those who are in Judea, he says, those pray that your flight is not on a Sabbath, as we'll see. These are Jews. He says, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations on account of my name. There's the core of what's going to go on in the great tribulation in regards to Israel. The nations are going to hate Israel. They're going to hate those who have come to faith. We're going to see this. And not only would they be hated by the Gentiles, they're going to be hated by their own Jews who manifest their apostasy and sin. Verse 10, and at that time many will fall away. That means they were pretending to follow Jesus Christ and they will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Verse 12, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And notice Jesus says to encourage them, I believe that true believers will endure to the end. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And what's the end? He just says that many are going to be killed. Well, the end is either making it through the tribulation or being martyred. You will be delivered. They will be saved. The one who endures, who doesn't slip out in context, who doesn't apostatize, who is truly saved and truly manifests a genuine trust in Jesus Christ. They are the ones who exhibit the fact that they are saved. Then verse 14. And this gospel, not the gospel, but this gospel, he says, of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for a witness to all the nations. Then the end shall come. This gospel that is coming through these martyred tribulation saints shall be preached. And then the end shall come. He's not talking about a mission statement. This is in the tribulation period. And then we move to our passage, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who were in Judea flee to the mountains. Judea was a term really for Israel. You could use that term as a slang term for the Jews. Although it was a smaller location, it's being used to speak of all of Israel. Let them flee to the mountains because of what God will call the great tribulation, which ends with the coming of Christ. And if Christ had not come and shortened those days, no flesh would have been spared. But for the sake of the elect, he says, he shortens those days. It is a serious time. And he says they are to flee. It is a command. When you see him, you are to flee to the mountains. And if you were a Jew and you heard that term, you would understand what he means by the mountains. He's speaking of east of Jerusalem, that direction. It's wilderness, but it is mountainy. Flee to the mountains. And what's the condition again? We looked at it in depth last time. We looked at the abomination of desolation. We looked at many passages concerning the Antichrist, the beast, the man of lawlessness, also called the abomination of desolation. When are they to flee? Again, therefore, when you see. Because there's going to be great death and carnage. And the end is on the horizon. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Now again, last week we went in depth and we looked at the abomination of desolation or the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness. We saw those passages in the book of Daniel that Jesus expects these readers at this time to understand. And we'll see their protection depends upon their understanding of the Word of God. When you see this abomination spoken of by the prophet Daniel, the spokesman for the living God, a prophet, we saw the abomination of desolation. That term speaks of a vile abomination that causes desolation. We saw in the book of Daniel that the abomination of desolation will make a firm covenant or an agreement at the beginning of that last week of years, which ends with Christ's coming. The beginning of that tribulation period, he would make a covenant with Israel. And it appears it has something to do with their safety and also their worshiping. Daniel 9, in the middle, he will cut off their sacrifices in the middle of that last week of years. It is the 70th week of God's plan with Israel. And it begins with this abomination making a firm covenant with them. Yet in the middle of the week, we saw he would cut off the sacrifices. We saw that he would come into the temple and take his stand. That's what Jesus is speaking of here. When you see that happening, when the abomination takes his stand in the temple, you better get out of town. And it's not you better. He is commanding them to leave. We saw at that point in Daniel 11 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you can look those up or go listen to the recording, that at that point, this Antichrist in the middle of this 7-year tribulation, he's been Israel's friend, but now he turns on them. And we see he declares himself to be God at that point. And if you'll remember, we saw in Revelation chapter 12 the spiritual reality behind this man, this wicked man who would persecute Israel and would kill every single one if he could. Let's turn there, actually. We saw this reality back in Revelation chapter 12. Let's turn there again. It just reminds me of what a blessing we had when we went through the book of Revelation in our study. And most of you understand Revelation now, but if you don't, I think it's fairly clear how it is laid out. We can understand it. It's not a mystery. God has given it to us to understand, to be revealed. If you'll remember when we went through the book of Revelation, you had the introduction, the presentation ultimately of Christ. And then we had the present things, those things that are the letters to the churches or the speeches of Christ to the churches. And then we had the things that will be from chapters 5 and on. And we saw in chapters 5 to 11, it was this end judgment time from the picture of those who dwell on the earth. And then we saw from chapters 12 to chapters 20, it is a picture from a different angle concerning Satan, the beast, the false prophet, the harlot of the beast, and the followers of the beast. And then we saw the eternal state. So in chapter 12, there is the introduction of Satan in relationship to Israel and Christ. Revelation 12:1, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. Every Jew would understand that, speaking of Israel, it's metaphorically speaking of Israel, and she was with child. And she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his heads were 7 diadems. We know those diadems represent those world empires, those 7 which John speaks of in Revelation chapter 17. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Satan has taken away a third of those angels. Those are the demons now. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. He was doing that through Herod to try to destroy Christ. And she gave birth to a male child who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Notice it's interesting. It's just a summary of Satan's relationship to Israel and to Christ. And then notice it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that she might be nourished for 1,260 days. We're looking at 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up our broadcast today, if I'm interested in knowing more about prophecy and end times topics, where should I go?
You know, Dave, the first and most important place to go is directly to Scripture. And yet, I hear at times people say, well, I can't understand Scripture. And that concerns me, you see, because we should be able to understand Scripture as it is taught by those who are gifted by God's Spirit, as we study ourselves as His Spirit illumines the Word. And so then, in most cases, when people tell me they can't understand Scripture, it concerns me. Either they don't have the Spirit of God, or it's because they're not yielding themselves or studying Scripture rightly in its context. So with that in mind, are there Bible study tools that are helpful? Yes, certainly. But in order to understand Scripture, you must have the Spirit of God within you. You must be walking with the Lord, and you need to have a humble heart, depending on Christ, to illumine what He intended His Word to say. You see, the Lord wants you to know His Word because He wants you to know Him. So I would encourage you today to humbly come before the Lord, ask Him to illumine His Word so that you would know Him better. There's no greater thing than knowing and walking with Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.